This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to us, and it's okay. We the people. It's a government of, for, and by we the people. Again, you know, if you're not real happy with the government you have right now, first place to look is in the mirror. We've allowed this to happen to us, to our children, and our grandchildren. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, that we put some time, put the video games down, put these other things, and maybe do an analysis of, you know, cost-benefit analysis of the time that we're investing in our lives, whether it has to do with our family, our marriages, you know, and included in that right now, there needs to be some time invested in this country so that we are intelligent voters, that we know what we're talking about. We're not just talking heads, you know, parroting other people and not knowing what it is from which we talk about, okay? So that's the challenge. I want to encourage us all to do this. I think the age of the low-information voter, it must be gone if we're going to get this country back on track. We can't just be a bunch of knuckleheads and think that somebody else is going to change it. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. We have to look in the mirror, okay? Well, the other night, Reince Priebus was talking with Megyn Kelly about, you know, this question that is lingering over this election right now, and that has to do with one Hillary Clinton, all stemming from Peter Schweitzer's book about Clinton Cash and what the foundation has done and how they have sold their influence and their, you know, their insider pathway to the government. It is absolutely astounding what has happened, and you would think that we, you know, there's enough laws on the books to cover this. But, you know, the RNC chair did pose the question, you know, is it legal to sell the time of a Secretary of State? Listen to what he had to say.
Your thoughts on whether indeed it is time for a special prosecutor in this case and your proposal for getting around a clearly reluctant Justice Department, which would be needed to have one.
Well, clearly the DOJ can investigate itself. The FBI already recommended an investigation of corruption in the Clinton Foundation. They declined to do it. Look, she's selling her time. She was selling her time as Secretary of State. So the question for the court
is it legal? It's our time. She was on the clock for us.
That's right. I mean, and so the question for the court is, and you're a lawyer, is it legal to sell time of a Secretary of State based on the size of a donation to a private foundation controlled by that Secretary of State? That's what she was doing. And it's very clear that she was selling her time. The part.
Well, you know, he says it's clear. Others still want to argue that, but unless we find, you know, some sort of blue dress here, Scott, you know, the conversation continues. We're in a bucket of gum, and we're just picking on the Secretary of State. But this is of her own doing. I mean, she's created this mess, and she's left so many questions, whether it has to do with her emails and, you know, the quid pro quo, you know, though circumstantial. It is still there, and it's at every turn. That's the problem. I mean, if it's just one or two things, you'd kind of go, okay, well, you guys are stretching it. You're really being like Don Quixote here, chasing after windmills, so maybe you need to back off. But there's just way too many instances and things that our government and the Attorney General, the FBI, and that have failed in serving we the people and keeping our government clean. You know, it's like this. This cabal there on the beltway that exists that says, hey, look, at if you're part of the ruling elite and you're attending all the cocktail parties and the special reindeer games, you're a special class of people and you need to be treated in a very special way. You know, this is what insults the voter politic. This is what is absolutely causing an uproar and why the voter politic is looking outside of the beltway. And I say it is about time. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay right where you are. We've got more coming up.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
We've got Bill Martinez here coming at you live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go, and you want to drop me an email. Especially right now, we've got Ben-Hur tickets to give away, the movie soundtrack, the book as well. Just drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Let's get you in the running. Make sure you include your address there, okay? Dr. Kevin Gutzman is with us, author of the book Who Killed the Constitution, The Fate of American Liberty, from World War I to George W. Bush. Dr. Gutzman, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Nice to be here, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Boy, the topic that we want to discuss here, quite interesting with the timing, as you say in your column here, with the timing of the popularity of Hamilton and Broadway. I mean, these tickets are, they're the hot ticket there in New York. I mean, something like, they start at $268. I mean, high demand for that play right now.
Yeah, it was actually really good. I saw it and reviewed it for the American Conservative magazine, and I... had a very positive evaluation of it.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, at our annual trip and getaway to New York around Christmas time, I'm going to get a chance to see it then. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure. I've heard so much about it, obviously, like everybody else. And, you know, I've seen the reviews and everything that, you know, and I love history. So I love history. I love the theater. So where else should I be on Christmas? But in front of, you know, Hamilton, right?
Right. Although one thing you're going to want to be aware of before you go see it is it's definitely a partisan take on Hamilton. It's a pro-federalist evaluation of the political events of his lifetime. So mm-hmm. If you're a Jefferson fan, you may not love it. Although when I saw it, far the best part of it was the performance by Diggs as Jefferson.
Yes.
I understand that like the rest of the original cast, he's now left the production, but he was the main reason to see it, as far as I could tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, good fun. Well, speaking of Hamilton and our founding fathers, here we are in the 21st century, looking at probably the most critical, and it seems like this happens all the time, but, you know, more so than ever, this election is so critical this year. And, you know, when you pose the question, what would our founding fathers say?
Well, it's not the highest quality field in history, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. I think there's reason to be unhappy with the nature of our politics when, you know, you end up with basically the American Evita on one hand, and on the other hand, Donald Trump, who, as far as traditional qualifications go, is perhaps the least qualified candidate ever. I mean, so Mrs. Clinton, I think it's fair to say, is the most corrupt person at the time of her nomination in the history of this office ever to be a candidate for the office. And then Trump has no political experience at all. So good luck.
Yeah, well, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, when you consider both candidates, it's rather scary. And you think, okay, here we are with Hillary Clinton. She's already said it's a continuation of Barack Obama. It will certify his legacy and the direction that he's taken this country in the last 8 years, where 7 out of 10 of us say, look, we don't like that direction. We're on the wrong track. But it seems that, you know, their feelings and their and that assessment needs to catch up with the reality of what's being offered right now. And I understand people being nervous about Donald Trump, but I think, you know, again, the reaction of the voter politic is, look, we need an outsider. We need somebody almost like, you know, I keep saying like a bankruptcy CEO. As you know, in business, and with all the bankruptcies that have been going on over the last many decades now, you always have a bankruptcy type CEO who comes in. He's not owning to any of the traditions of the organization. What he's owning to is, hey, let's get this company solvent again, and let's make some hard decisions that maybe the founders and the people that were heretofore in office or running the organization could not make. And they make these tough decisions and right the ship, and they live another day. And maybe that's what we need. Maybe we'll, at the end of the day, after everything is said and done, if it is a Donald Trump administration, we're thankful for his business acumen and maybe attacking some of these heretofore sacred cows that the politicians say, oh, we just had to have, right?
Well, that's a hopeful way of understanding what's happening.
I want to be hopeful. and thank you for your study. You're right. But because I sit there, you know, being a business, coming out of the business world, I always look at the cards you've been given. Okay, what do you have here, and how can you make it work with what you have? I mean, we can bemoan that, okay, we've got ourselves in this mess, but, you know, we the people have ourselves to blame, you know, for this. Donald Trump, you know, evacuated 16 other, you know, I think good politicians, you know, and he vacated them. So something is going on here in River City that we need to assess. And what I'm disappointed in, frankly, Kevin, is that the voter, I mean, you know, the experienced politicians have not come alongside Trump in a way that they could be an asset and help him. Yes, you've got Governor Walker, you've got Mike Huckabee and others, but you know, Donald Trump's not a politician, but he could use some support.
Well, what I meant in relation to Mrs. Clinton, she's the chief story here.
Yes,
not only because I've long thought she likely would be elected, but because I think it's really spectacular that she's been nominated. Why do I say that? Well, first of all, you know, you asked me about the founding fathers. When James Monroe left the presidency, he was stone broke. The reason was that he had essentially paid for the White House budget out of his own pocket. And nowadays, we're used to the idea that there are literally thousands of people working in the White House staff and catering to the every whim of the president and his queen consort. But in the old days, they paid these expenses themselves, and people thought, well, this is the way Republican government should work. It shouldn't be that you go into this line of work because you think this is a way to get rich. Now, however, somebody like Mrs. Clinton spends a lifetime in politics, and she is going to leave office eventually, I suppose, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So how did she get this money? You know, the answer is, quote-unquote, public service. But you'd be hard-pressed, I think, to say which public she served exactly.
Yes.
It's entirely unlike the experience of people who lived through, say, George Washington being president, or Thomas Jefferson, when he left the White House, also was broke. And this was seen as normal. I think that Ms. Clinton's paper qualifications are extremely weak. In fact, asked to name her outstanding accomplishment as Secretary of State, her campaign staff couldn't come up with an answer.
Exactly.
And
Kevin, we got to go to break here, so stay right there. We'll pick it up from there on the other side of the break. 15 after the top of the hour right now, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. More from Dr. Gutzman.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today. Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLight. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLight. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
Hello, mercy. I have been searching for you lately.
Bill Martinez.
Can you hold me together? Can your love reach down this far? Can you hold me together? Cause without you holding my heart, I'm falling.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's all about you, America. That's what it's all about. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. You know, you think of Hollywood legends like Gary Cooper, Lana Turner, Bob Hope. You know, they had it all going for them. Glamour, wealth, fame. You know, what do they need God for? Well, you'd be surprised. Just like the rest of us, you know, you get to that point and you say, well, you know what? I've really messed this up pretty good. Maybe I should look into this God thing. Well, Mary Claire Kendall, in her book Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends, tells the fascinating life stories of an all-star 12. It's a must-read page-turner. We've talked about it before here on the show. Makes a great present, too. Available on Amazon. Check it out if you haven't already. Mary Claire Kendall's book, Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. Our conversation continues right now with Dr. Kevin Gutzman. He is the author of the book, Who Killed the Constitution? The Fate of American Liberty, from World War I to George W. Bush. And, Kevin, we were talking about Hillary Clinton and her woes. I mean, these are all self-inflicted. I mean, it'd be one thing if you said, hey, this is what Republicans had done to her. But, I mean, you know, all the smoke that is around the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and her integrity is stuff that she's created, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. And there's really never been anything like it. It's really clear that she was trading on her office, Secretary of State, and essentially the Clinton Foundation was a cover for influence peddling. And, you know, the idea that this is going to be treated as normal now really is shocking to me. So,
yeah, they've really given her a lot of latitude. And I think the reason being, Kevin, if the truth be known, it's probably more widespread than we realize. You know, there's been a couple of sacrificial lambs in the legislative branch, you know, a couple of congressmen that have been thrown here and there and senators that have been exposed. But this is something, you know, in much the same way that Peter Schweitzer exposed with his book, Throw Them All Out, that they said, well, we're getting a lot of heat here. Maybe we ought to make it a law that forbids us, you know, from taking advantage of insider trading, where if you and I did anything close to that, we'd still be in jail and, you know, hanging with the rough boys, you know?
At some point, voters have to decide that they're just not going to tolerate the kind of behavior that's been documented in Mrs. Clinton's case. Mm-hmm. So we have her essentially taking office, and they set up this Clinton Foundation whose purpose seems to have been to provide a means of pretending that people were paying money to hear Bill Clinton give speeches. Well, you know, if you remember Bill Clinton, whatever you might think of him as a political figure, he didn't really have anything inspirational to say. That is, nobody ever said, well, my life really changed once I figured out the political philosophy of Bill Clinton, right?
Right.
So the idea that, foreign entities are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a shot to hear Bill Clinton give a political speech just, I think, doesn't even pass the laugh test.
Exactly.
That's essentially what the Clinton Foundation story is. They were supposed to believe that they weren't paying these people, for access to the Secretary of State. No, no, no. They were paying for an opportunity to hear Bill Clinton. And I don't think that anybody who's ever heard Bill Clinton thinks somebody was paying for an opportunity to hear Bill Clinton. Yeah. So it's reasonable, and yet it seems likely to me that her political supporters are going to buy it, and we're going to end up with, we're likely going to end up with her as president. It's appalling. Doesn't seem to be the right word, does it?
No, exactly. I mean, you know, how did we get here? No doubt about it. I mean, Bill Clinton suddenly is paid four or five times over average. You know, generally, and this is historically, looking at the numbers, most past presidents, you know, they make about $70,000-$80,000 a speech, and that's about what he was doing. Suddenly she becomes Secretary of State, and now he's paid four or five times that. And,
right.
By her own direction, you know, from her mouth to our ears, if we're listening, you know, she said, follow the money. Well, you follow the money of the Clinton Foundation, and you see what, you know, on the surface, you know, the least of it, because they say, well, there's no really smoking gun here. We're not finding a blue dress yet. I think it's out there, but we haven't found it yet. But the impropriety and the appearance of impropriety is so blatant, you know, that they even had to come out and say, well, we promise if she gets elected, then we'll stop doing it. Well, you know, what happened when you were Secretary of State? What is it right now? You know, it's like, you gotta be, you know, but her followers, her followers and the rest, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and everybody else that is absolutely blinded by the Kool-Aid, just, you know, somehow gives her room and place, and here we are. You know, as you said from the very beginning, Kevin, this is really the best that the Democratic Party could offer.
Do we really think that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is so enthralled with Hillary Clinton? I mean, is that really the explanation for Debbie Wasserman Schultz being involved in Mrs. Clinton's campaign, that she's just completely enamored of Mrs. Clinton? I don't buy it.
Well,
she's
enamored with power. We know that.
Right.
You know, people gravitate to power. That's the Beltway way. And, you know, if I can say, and that is traditional, you know, down through the ages. There's nothing new here. People, you know, people that are in power have those that want to be close. You know, if you're not in power, you want to be as close to it as you possibly can. And we're already seeing what that translates to, and that is that you got foreign governments willing to pay a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation in order to have some influence here in America. And based on what Hillary said in terms of following the money, and you look at what happened on the heels of when money was deposited, things went very well for these people that gave them money.
Sure, and so this is why you get big donations to her presidential campaign.
Yes.
They expect things to continue to go very well once they give her money.
Right. And so what happens to us, Kevin? What happens to us, we the people? You know, the peons here, the minions.
One thing about this is that, again, you asked me about the Founding Fathers, that, you know, the idea of even mentioning George Washington in the same breath with somebody who's behaving this way is just... It's just amazing. It's impossible. So it's totally foreign to George Washington. It's totally foreign to, I guess, James Monroe leaving the White House. And people ask him, well, why don't you put your name on the name of our law firm? We'll pay you a ton of money if you'll just associate with us. And he said, I can't trade on having been president. Imagine that.
Yes.
I can't trade on having been, you know, and after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee said, well, I can't trade on railroad corporations wanted him to put his name on their masthead. And he said, I can't trade on having been a general, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And nowadays we just anticipate that Eric Cantor loses his Republican primary in Virginia and he turns around and becomes a super wealthy lobbyist. This is completely corrupt. We have foreign governments and foreign monarchs paying literally millions of dollars for the opportunity to, what, hear Bill Clinton give a 20-minute speech? Do you think when the Emir of Bahrain pays Bill Clinton millions of dollars for him to give a 20-minute speech, what he's paying for is hearing Bill Clinton give a 20-minute speech? I don't think anybody buys that.
No, it's door number two. He wants door number two. We know that because, you know, it would be interesting, you know, to your point, Kevin, is if there was some kind of review of those speeches by the people, not people directly, but the people that were in the audience, you know, what would you give him? Would you give him an Olympic 10 or would he be DQ'd on his speech? And this is why we've been, you know, asking for, you know, Hillary Clinton's speeches that she gave to Goldman Sachs, right? To see just how profound and powerful it was that she would be, you know, getting, you know, $600,000 for a speech. I guess a good deal if you can get away with it.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
It's getting better all the time.
I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, however you join us online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates that we have for you or even shortwave around the world, hey, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you here. Don't forget to drop me an email, bill at BillMartinezLive, if you want those free tickets to the movie Ben-Hur. We've got movie soundtracks and the book as well to give away. So just drop me an email. Say, Martinez, make sure I'm in the running. Include your address so we know where to send it. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. No purchase necessary. It's just that simple. Well, both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump want to import medicines from Canada to curb high drug prices. Now, on the surface, it seems like it might be a good idea. But our next guest says it's going to only jeopardize America's health. There's a better way to tackle the nation's ballooning health care bills. We're talking about Peter Pitts. He's back with his former FDA associate commissioner and current president and co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Peter Pitts, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Nice to be back. Thank you.
Good to have you. Peter, you know, as I said, both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton say, hey, let's look north. You know, the cost of prescriptive drugs there and medications, much cheaper, might be the right way to go. And you're going, whoa, wait a minute. We need to consider some unintended consequences that goes along with that perspective, right?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, it's a political silly season, so a lot of dumb ideas are going to rise to the top. And drugs, quote-unquote drugs from Canada, is always a favorite. I know Governor Paul Lindsay tried it in Minnesota for a while with embarrassing results. But I think there are a couple of important things to note here. The first is, you know, both the candidates are saying that these are the, quote-unquote, the same drugs that Canadians are getting. And that's simply not true, because the drugs that are coming into the U.S. from Canadian internet pharmacies are generally from third countries. 85% plus don't even originate in Canada. India, China, Pakistan, Malta, Portugal, you know, places that Americans, Turkey, that Americans really should have serious questions about. you know, so when the candidates say, well, these are the same drugs Canadians are getting, that's just that's just patently untrue. So that's the first thing to understand. You know, the second thing is FDA has done a number of investigations when I was there and even more recently that shows that, you know, these drugs are coming from islands in the South Pacific, you know, from Africa. You know, some of them are counterfeit, some are super potent, some are subpotent, some are expired. You don't really know what you're getting. It's a real kind of Russian roulette with your health situation, wow. Not smart. But from a pure cost perspective, so safety, obviously, you know, the number one concern here. Mm-hmm. But from a savings perspective, it's important to remember that 85% of the drugs by volume that are sold in this country are generic drugs. And generic drugs are actually less expensive in the U.S. than they are in Canada or Europe. So a lot of times people are getting drugs over the internet that are actually less expensive here at home. And that's important to remember. You know, being sold a bill of goods, you know, it's not a good way to, you know, kind of advance the public health. Like my dad used to say, sometimes a bargain is too expensive. And just from a straight economics perspective, the Congressional Budget Office, which is the nonpartisan arm of Congress that scores financially these types of ideas, says that even if we could bring in drugs from Canada, it would lower healthcare costs in this country by 0.1%. So a lot of brouhaha over nothing and compromising safety thrown in to boot.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're reminded that perception is reality. The perception that America has is that drugs are cheaper in Canada. Now, already just with these two points, you've clearly refuted that.
Yeah, another thing to remember is that people say, you know, drugs are too expensive. That's kind of a soundbite, right? Mm-hmm. So when you ask people, what does that mean? What it means to most Americans who have health insurance is that it's their copay. So they walk into the pharmacy with their prescription and they have health insurance. And the pharmacist says, okay, now you owe $20, $40, $60, $100, $200 in your copay. Mm. That's not the cost of drugs. Most insurance companies get 20, 40, 60, sometimes 70% discounts from drug companies. So their markup and the copay that the patient pays, you know, when they get the drug, when it's dispensed at the pharmacy, that discount is not being passed along to the consumer. And I think that's a real, real shame. I think if we've learned nothing from Obamacare, we should remember that there's a difference between having health insurance and having access to health care.
Exactly.
One of the missing pieces in the discussion of now everybody can get health insurance is the copay. And I think that insurance companies really need to, you know, look at themselves and think about the public interest and understand that the copay needs to be lower, that they need to share the discounts that they're getting. And so that people, you know, can really maximize the opportunity of actually having health insurance.
Well, this has been the problem with Obamacare and other programs, even what Hillary Clinton had presented, is that it really isn't in the public interest. I mean, what Obamacare has proven from day one and with each successive day is that it really is about the health insurance companies. It's not about we the people. It's not about the people getting, you know, health services, Peter, just as you explained here very clearly.
The first thing with Obamacare is that it was sold as kind of quote unquote free health care, which clearly just doesn't exist anywhere in the world. And it never really talked about access. It kind of made people think that everything was going to be free and better. And that's fantasy. I mean, this is a very complicated proposition with many different players. And I think at the end of the day, rather than looking for guys to blame, we all need to work together, the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical industry and doctors, pharmacists, mm-hmm. pharmacy benefit managers, only to work together to kind of make it a better system. And I guess the one thing that kind of gets ignored here, you know, the single biggest driver of health care costs in this country is the fact that we are a nation of obese people who don't exercise and don't eat well. And that's going to change. We've got to take some personal responsibility for this, too.
Without a doubt. Well, going back to what you were saying earlier, and that is my question to you is, and you seem to answer that question ever so slightly, but I want to expand on it just a little bit more, and that is, can we all get together and, you know, produce a win-win proposition? You know, we're not saying, hey, look, it's, you know, the heck with the insurance providers or the doctors or some of these other people that, that are part of the program. Can we all get together and say, let's make a win-win exceptional program where, you know, the people that are being, you know, given this health care, that they can say, wow, that we've really done something in a positive way here?
I think that we can. But, you know, the first thing to recognize is different types of programs are going to be better for different types of people. That there really isn't a one size fits all.
Exactly.
And we talk about when you have sound bites like drugs from Canada or a single payer system or free health care. It's simplistic. Mark Twain said that for every complex problem, there's usually a simple answer that's wrong. I think that's what's driving the healthcare debate now. We're looking for simple solutions to huge, complicated problems. And we're demonizing people rather than looking for allies. I mean, during one of the Democratic debates, Hillary Clinton was asked who should fear her the most as president. And she said Iran and then the pharmaceutical industry. You have to ask yourself, what's wrong with this picture? When you start comparing people, to foreign enemies, you're not going to make a lot of forward motion. And healthcare requires everybody to work together. And I think we're actually doing the reverse now. We're trying to find people to blame rather than bring everybody together to solve the problem.
Well, what concerns me, Peter, is that people are going to get so frustrated over this that they're going to throw their arms up, wave the white flags of surrender, and just say, okay, give me that one-size-fits-all program that you said just a moment ago isn't going to work.
Sure, and, that plays on people's fears, absolutely. The more frustrated people get, the more politicians are going to say, listen, you've got a problem, I can solve it, it's going to be easy, I can do it quickly. And people want to hear that. It's what people want to hear. It's what politicians like to say. And also, not just politicians, but members, our elected representatives. And it just isn't the case. So we've got to step forward. Maybe it's doctors who have to step forward and say, listen, it's complicated. You have to find people who trust. Say, listen, we're doing the best we can. We have to work together and move things forward. And I think a breath of honesty would do a whole lot to get people confident that this really can be changed.
Well, and I think the opportunity here, Peter, is let's focus on what the true objective is all about. I mean, forget about somebody getting credit here. Let's do something on behalf of the voter politic, the citizens of this country that deserve a lot better. It's a great article that Peter has written, his op-ed in the Washington Times. The third point he made is why candidates are wrong to myopically focus on short-term health costs rather than ways to reduce chronic diseases like Alzheimer's, which will bankrupt the nation without a cure. Peter Pitts on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Peter. It's 19 before the top of the hour right now.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
So speak life to the dead and darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken hearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's all about the better thing, isn't it? Let's speak life and encourage one another. 14 before the top of the hour right now. Scott Mann is with us, former Lieutenant Colonel, Green Beret, CEO of Mission America and author of the best-selling novel, Game Changers. He spent 23 years in the Army Special Forces, career involved in foreign internal defense, counterinsurgency, and stability missions. He served in the Special Operations for over 18 years, has been a Green Beret for over 15 years in combat deployments in Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Panama, Iraq, and Afghanistan. He's one of only, he is the only former lieutenant colonels that is actively still involved in the day-to-day transition of Green Berets from active duty into civilian life. Scott, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, we're just, staying on top of it like you as best we can, you know, running around with our hair on fire. But I want to talk to you about, what keeps coming back. I mean, we're not solving this problem, clearly, and I'm saying this issue that was brought to mind once again, these recent riots in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, based on racial violence, you say, fueling a disturbing wave of Klan behavior across America. Klan behavior is the very thing that ununites us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's one of the oldest forms of, of organizational relationships. I just taught a group of Green Berets at Fort Bragg on this yesterday. We all come from that place. All of us were at one time part of a Klan. And the way I explain it, Bill, is all, humans have been on this earth for 200,000 years. And most of that time, we have demonstrated Klan behavior. What that really means is it's just an in-group dynamic. I'm going to have more trust with my in-group. I'm going to be bonded to them because I need them to survive. It's kin, clan, family, tribe. Anyone outside of my in-group is an enemy. They are coming after my resources. They're coming after my identity. They have to go. And, we've built a society on the shoulders of Klan behavior that really gets beyond that. We're able to bridge and trust beyond our in-group and have an identity as Americans. We are losing that, and our politicians even are helping take us back to where we really come from, which is Klan behavior, and that never ends well because somebody's in the out-group and they're a loser, and that's not good.
Well, and what it does, it leaves all of us very vulnerable because we're bifurcated, ununited, as we say, we're hyphenated up the yin-yang, and, you know, we're wondering why this country is so off course right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, I would ask your listeners to think about this. When all of the riots started happening in Dallas, when you hear about the riots in Milwaukee where whites are being hunted down, you know, if you are a white person in America, does that change your perception of things? Does that change how you see your neighborhood or in where you're walking at night? And it usually does. That doesn't mean you're a racist. What it means is that type of Klan behavior drives all of us biologically to fall back into our in-groups and out-groups. It is a very, very dangerous proposition for this country, which was built on an understanding that, you know what, we're not going to succumb to this in-group, out-group dynamic. We're going to build a society that has a primary identity as Americans first. And right now, our politicians and many of our leaders who have the microphone are irresponsibly advancing an in-group mentality for their particular in-group. And guys like you and me and your listeners, we have to say enough and call them on it.
Exactly. Well, Colonel, how dangerous is it that police now seem to be the target?
Well, it's very dangerous because what's going to be the natural police response? You know, they're going to put their body armor on. They're going to dress more like SEAL Team 6 than a community police officer. They're going to escalate their posture, which when you start to have these in-group, out-group dynamics going on and vengeance and feud starts to take over, right? And so exactly. Everybody elevates their collective posture for their in-group, and there's nowhere to go but up in these escalations, these emotions, these tensions. So it's very bad. It makes the police feel as if they're hunted. They're going to circle wagons. And once again, the outside agitators are just going to keep pulling the threads on this until we ramp it down.
Well, Scott, I hope that people are hearing what you just described here, because this is exactly what's starting to happen. You know, we've been hearing more and more about the militarization of our police forces across the country, the fact that they're looking for body armor, improved equipment to protect themselves. And, boy, I'll tell you, if they military up, what are they going to do? The natural response is for them to respond militarily and not as a community interest, force to come in and serve we the people. I mean, it's all about law and order. And, if you start looking at everything as a nail and you're the hammer, then guess what happens, right?
That's exactly right, Bill. And, you know, I trained federal and local law enforcement all over the country and mostly in what you just talked about. And the reason is this. And I talked about this in my book, Game Changers. For 10 years, we got it wrong as Green Berets. We're supposed to be the modern-day Lawrences of Arabia who go into communities that are displaced and marginalized and help them stand up against tyranny. After 9/11, we were so emotional that we came from the top down. We dressed like RoboCop, rode around in Moonraker vehicles, and we were not connected to these communities. So we pushed the communities the other way, and we finally learned our lesson on that. We moved into the communities and started helping them stand up on their own against the Taliban, against ISIS. And what we saw was this. A community, I don't care where it is in the world, is the greatest antibody to extremism, whether that is crime, whether that is terrorism. Nothing is more collectively stable against that kind of negative influence than a solid, resilient community. And that starts with you and me and our police officers and our local officials. This is not a national problem. This is a bottom-up community problem.
Exactly. And, Colonel, again, what you're addressing here is something that takes time. It takes assessment. You can't just come in and, as you say, use the heavy hand of your own expedient perspective and thrust it upon these communities. It takes time to find out who the good guys are, who the bad guys are. And, unfortunately, what you discovered as you were there is that you're fighting against a traditional perspective, something that's been passed down from generation to generation. I was looking here a couple of months back, and it was about a month ago, about a graduating class there in the Middle East of five-year-olds and what they did for their graduation ceremony. I mean, it was dangerous. And you go, wait a minute, they're raising up future jihadis they're doing this demonstration. I mean, these are five-year-olds that have been totally indoctrinated. And what is the trajectory of their lives 15 years from then?
Yeah, they call them cubs, and I think they just interjected one or intervened and caught one before he was able to.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is coming, and this is going to continue to happen. But here's what I would just caution all of us who are leaders, community leaders on here, Bill, is that the tendency is to play to your emotions and to say, okay, we're just going to have to gun up and take them all down. I can just tell you from doing that for 10 years, that does not work as a singular strategy. Yes, you're going to have to pull bad people out, and you're going to have to deal with them. But the real leaders today, Bill, the ones that are going to lead us through this, are the ones who can see that this in-group, out-group dynamic is actually being manipulated by some very insidious people. Like ISIS is just rubbing their hands together and salivating as they see us saying, hey, tell them all, let God sort them out. That's exactly what they want. We've got to be smart enough to see how this is playing, stand up as a community, connect with each other, and then root the bad actors out as a community collectively.
Exactly. Well, I still believe, as you do, that good can win over evil, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My son has just started his first year as an Army ROTC cadet, and I lost 23 friends in this war, and I refuse to accept the fact that America's best days are behind them. They died believing that they're in front of us. And as long as I have a breath in my body, I'm going to advance that. I'm going to hand this world better to my kids than I found it.
Well, Colonel, we're a lot smarter than this, aren't we?
We are. We're a lot smarter, and we have the capability. Listen, if we're waiting for Washington, D.C. to come in and solve this issue, they're not coming. I'll just break that newsflash right now. This is a community leadership problem. There's never been a greater platform for guys like you and me and your listeners to stand up and connect our communities, reach out to marginalized groups, and build our antibody and resilience to this kind of agitation. Don't allow it. But it starts with remembering who we are as Americans, getting back to our narrative as Americans.
Exactly.
Start there and then work out.
Well, this is why our founding fathers were so sold out. They gave up everything, their treasure, their names, their honor, for we the people and the U.S. Constitution. What a powerful document if we would only follow its prescriptions, Scott.
It's true. And the other thing that I would advise people to do, and I can help them with that, I can send you some links, but get familiar on this whole dynamic of in-group, out-group clan behavior. The more we know, Bill, about where we've come from over the last 190,000 years, the more likely we are to not go back there, right? Mm-hmm. We've got to know what America was built on: honor, revenge, shame, feud, all of those things that we've kind of left behind. They're still in our DNA, they're still in our molecules, and they will act on us if we're not conscious of who we are as humans, what we're capable of, and what we're trying to become.
Scott, we got about 15 seconds here. What links would you refer them to?
Yeah, go to manup.com or even listen to my podcast, The Man Up Report. Subscribe to it on iTunes, and I talk about this stuff all the time. And, of course, Game Changers, thegamechangersbook.com.
That's great. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann has been with us. Colonel, always good to have you with us. Great insight. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, we'll link these websites on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. It is just about, thank you, Scott, just about 3 minutes before the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1 G2.0 and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
There is an affordable alternative.